Tiniest crumb of comfort to those in distress. Nonetheless, I feel it should be offered where the need appears the greatest, because that way it will be all the more useful and will prove all the more welcome. And who is going to deny that this offering, such as it is, should properly be devoted to the fair sex, very much in preference to the men? It is women who timorously and bashfully conceal love's flame within their tender breasts. And those who have had experience of it know well enough how much harder it is to control the suppressed than the open flame. Moreover, circumscribed as women are by whatever it is their fathers and mothers, their brothers, their husbands desire or require of them, they spend most of their time within the narrow confines of their bedchambers. Here they sit in relative idleness, torn between yes and no, as they brood on all manner of things, not all of which can procure them unalloyed happiness. And if love's craving leaves their thoughts tinged with sadness, they are condemned to remain gloomy unless such thoughts are driven out by some fresh distraction. Besides which, women have anyway far less endurance than men. Now we have only to look to see that men in love meet with nothing of this kind. If a man is down in the dumps or out of sorts, he has any number of ways to banish his cares or make them tolerable. He can go out and about at will, he can hear and see all sorts of things, he can go hawking and hunting, he can fish or ride, gamble or pursue his business interests. The effect of such activities will be to improve his spirits to a greater or lesser degree and stave off depression for a while at any rate, after which somehow or other he obtains comfort or else the problem recedes. Now, since fortune has tended to be at her most niggardly in that one quarter where strength has proved the most defective, as is evident in the gentle sex, I will to some degree make amends for her sin. To afford assistance and refuge to women in love, the rest have all they want in their needles, their spools and spindles, I propose to tell 100 tales, or fables, or parables, or stories, or what you will. They were narrated, as will transpire, in the course of 10 days, by a goodly company of 7 ladies and 3 young men, which assembled during the last incidents of the plague. There will also be a few songs which the aforementioned ladies sang for their pleasure. The stories will portray the happy and hapless fortunes of love and other hazards of chance, whether these occurred in our day or in olden times. And the women folk to whom I have been alluding will be able, as they read them, to derive entertainment from the amusing events there described and, equally, helpful advice, for they will contrive to grasp what is to be avoided and what to pursue. None of which will take effect, so I believe, without raising their spirits. And if, God willing, spirits are raised, let the ladies give thanks to love. By relieving me of his bonds, he has permitted me to attend to their pleasure. Every time I stop to consider your natural inclination to pity, most gracious ladies, I recognize that you will find the opening of this present work abhorrent and distressing. For so is the painful recapitulation of the recent deadly plague, which occasioned hardship and grief to everyone who witnessed it or had some experience of it, and which marks the introduction of my work. I should be sorry, however, if you let this discourage you from reading on, as if to do so were to condemn you to unremitting sighs and tears. You are to look upon this grim opening as travellers on foot confront a steep, rugged mountain. Beyond it lies a most enchanting plain, which they appreciate all the more for having toiled up and down the mountain first. And just as sorrow will come to displace the most abundant happiness, so will the arrival of joy put paid to sorrow. This brief affliction, I call it brief for it is contained in not all that many letters, will quickly give place to the sweet relief already promised you. Were I not to mention it, you might perhaps never have expected it after an opening such as this. The fact is, had I been able to find some suitable alternative path by which to bring you to where I want, other than along this steep one, I should willingly have done so. But as I could not have explained the reasons underlying what you are about to read, unless I broached this matter of the plague, I find myself virtually obliged to write about it. The era of the fruitful incarnation of the Son of God had arrived at the year 1348, when the deadly plague reached the noble city of Florence, of all Italian cities, the most excellent. Whether